Well, last week, as we get into God's Word this morning, last week we shared about the major difference between light and darkness, that those who live in darkness are slaves to sin, while the children of light have been set free from sin. And we talked about that last week, that if you are in darkness, it doesn't matter what you do, you are a slave of sin. You cannot get out of it. Compared to someone who has walked in the light, God has given you power through the Holy Spirit to overcome sin. You have been set free from sin. And at the time, Jesus was trying to let the Jews know that they had a problem, and it was a sin problem. And if they did not believe in Him, that they would die in their sins. But there's also a group of people that came before Jesus, and they believed, they declared that they believed in Jesus. But the thing is, they didn't understand this about the issue of sin in their lives. Instead, they took pride in their heritage. They were saying, hey, you know what? We are offspring of Abraham. We are not slaves to anyone. Yet Jesus wanted them to know that they were slaves to sin. But to those who did believe in Jesus, He said, we talked about last week, that you have been set free from sin and its power through the blood of Jesus Christ. As Jesus said in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And in verse 36, it says this, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You are free indeed. So if you are a child of darkness, you will be a slave to sin. But if you believed in Jesus Christ, you have been set free from sin's power. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to John chapter 8 as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John. And I want to begin in verse 37, John 8:37, beginning in verse 37. Let me read this. Then this is Jesus speaking, and He says, I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. Here in this passage, Jesus brings up the subjects of fathers. And no, it was not planned for Father's Day. It just fell on Father's Day. But Jesus brings up a subject of fathers. First, He says, I speak of what I have seen with my father. And then He says, you do what you've heard from your father. So here we have two fathers. Jesus' father and the Jews' father. Two fathers with two influences, which we'll talk about here in a moment. At this point, the Jews they want to kill Jesus. And now they claim that Abraham is their father. Jesus is not content with their answer. Because Jesus says to them, if you claim to be Abraham's children, yet you do not live like Abraham. Because in verse 39 He says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham, who obeyed God and left his country, he left his place of comfort to go to a country that God led him. Abraham, who was given the son of promise in his old age through his wife, who was barren and could not have children, yet God gave him a child, Isaac. Abraham, who obeyed God, went 3 days' journey to go and sacrifice his son Isaac upon the altar because God called him to do that. Well, so he went to obey God, even though God stopped him. Abraham, who's known in Scripture as the friend of God. And unlike Abraham, these Jews did not want to hear the truth of God. They didn't want anything to do with it. And also, they had murder in their heart. They wanted not to hear the truth, and they wanted to kill Jesus. They were very unlike Abraham, the father of their faith. Yet they claimed Abraham's influence in their lives. Yet their life, in their life, they walked contrary to Abraham's life. The way they lived denied their confession of being children of Abraham. But let us continue as the plot thickens here. In John 8:41, let us continue. So they say in response to Jesus, they say, "You are doing the works of your father did," they said to him. "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word." The Jews do not like Jesus' criticism of them. They do not like, as he points out, "You say you are Abraham's children, yet your life, through your life and actions, you deny it." So what do? They accuse Jesus, saying, "Hey, your father, you're from sexual immorality. That's how you were. That's how you came to be." Now, I don't know if they were just trying to tear down Jesus or if they knew of the rumors around Jesus' birth. Remember Mary? Went away, came back pregnant. We know the story, the virgin birth. But yet, I imagine that there were still all these rumors around Jesus and his birth. So I don't know if they knew that or if they were just trying to accuse Jesus of something. I don't know. But whatever, they were trying to tear down Jesus. They did not like what Jesus was saying. You know what's so interesting is after they insult Jesus, do you see what they say in this passage? They say, "You know what? We have one Father, even God. God is our Father." But you know what? I love what Jesus says in his response to them. In verse 42, he says, "If God were your father, you would love me." So you remember, a father influences his children. When the Jews rejected Jesus, they rejected God as their father. And because the father influences his children, and if they were children of God, they would have loved Jesus because they would have been influenced by God the Father. And they would have believed in Jesus. See, a child models their father. A child, a son or a daughter, models the father. Even though the child may be unique and different, they will model what they say. For today, for example, today is Father's Day. And if you are a father, or you play the role of the father to your grandchildren, I want to thank you. Your role is invaluable. Do you know that you have a unique place of power to shape your children? You have the unique place of influence. Because your children will do what they see, not what you say. Have you ever experienced that with children before? You tell them not to do this, But if you spit, they'll spit. If you swear, they'll swear. If you get angry, they will get angry. If you forgive, they'll learn to forgive. If you love God, by God's grace, they will love God. So children model their fathers. Fathers, this morning, are you a godly influence on your children? There's a challenge I want to give to you, fathers, this morning. It is time for fathers to become the spiritual leaders of your family. There is an epidemic in our nation where the men have handed over the spiritual leadership to their wives. The fathers sit at home working in their garages while their wives go to church, while their wives raise their children in the ways of God. You know what's so interesting to me is that us guys are the guys that, ooh, you may drink your beer, you may go to the football game, you may cheer on the basketball game, you may work out and feel strong. But when it comes to God, there are many wimps within the church of God. It's like the men have handed over, like, oh, to be the spiritual leader in the family. They just give up. And you see women, the wives, mothers standing, coming forth and being the spiritual leaders while the men just stay at home doing their own thing. They work their jobs to provide the money, and that's all they do. And then what happens is their son and daughter watch their leadership, or their son sees that, and then he models it in his marriage to come. And he is not the spiritual leader of the home that God has called him to be. Because you know what? Men, if you are not the spiritual leader in your home, you are walking in disobedience to God's word. Because God has called you men to lead. I'm not saying he hasn't called the women to lead in spiritual development, but he's called you to lead. And how many families I look at, the women lead and the men do nothing. But they're leading in one way. They're leading their children to model them. To model them. You men, you fathers, have a place of influence. These fathers, are we any different than the Jews? We claim that God is our Father, yet our lives do not reflect it. See, the child will model us as their earthly fathers, but we model our spiritual father, and then our children will model us. It's a domino effect, oh men. Will we lead? Will we lead? Fathers, are you a godly influence on your children? But you know, this exhortation to model our spiritual father isn't only for the fathers here this morning, it's for all of us. Men, maybe you aren't a father, but men, are you a godly influence around of those around you? Are you modeling your father in heaven? Ladies, are you a godly influence? Are you modeling your father in heaven? Because we will model our spiritual father. Your father will determine your influence. But in this passage, we will see there are two fathers. In a sense, two spiritual fathers that can influence our lives. Because at the beginning, Jesus says, you know what? I speak of what the Father, my Father, has said to me. You do what your Father has done to you. And at this point, they've claimed, Abraham, we're children of Abraham. God is our Father. Yet Jesus has shown them that their lives do not show that. And then Jesus now, he's not going to hold back any punches now. He's going to give it to him. He's going to tell them, this is your father. You claim Abraham as children of Abraham. You claim God as your father. This is your father. And if you go to verse 44 here, This is when Jesus just unloads on these Jews. He says this, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a father and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? I tell the truth. Why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Jesus reveals to these Jews, your father is the devil, the father of lies. You are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has nothing to do with the truth. He is the father of lies. And so Jesus is saying, this is your father. I speak of what I hear from my father. You do what you hear from your father, and he's the devil, and he's the father of lies, and he's a murderer. In a sense, their spiritual father was the devil. No wonder they didn't like Jesus. Wow, he's really giving it to them. No wonder they didn't like him, because he was just pointing out the truth about their lives, about the influence in their lives was not from the Father, but was from the devil. Because remember, there are only two fathers that can influence us, two spiritual fathers in a sense, the God the Father or the father of lies. We are in this spiritual conflict. And I don't think we really think about this spiritual conflict in our lives. That we have these two influences in our lives. One wants us to know him, to walk with him, to obey him. But then there's a thing inside of us, an influence that wants us to disobey, to live for ourselves, to live selfishly, to live for the world. These two influences. I want to talk about the devil for a moment. You know, when you look at Scripture, you discover many different things about him. First, the name devil means accuser or slanderer. You never experienced that in your life, do you? Someone accusing your thoughts? Someone's pointing out your shortcomings? He's known, so the devil means accuser, slanderer. He also has many other names. A few of them is Satan, which means adversary. Means he's against us. He's opposed to us. He's coming against us. He's fighting against us. He's also known as serpent, as the serpent. Or Lucifer, which means shining one, shining star. You know what's really interesting about Lucifer is that name is pretty unique compared to his other names. It's totally different. And I know that there is some debate as to the devil's past and his origin, but I want to discuss first just the most popular view this morning. Because some profess that Lucifer describes his heavenly name. That at one time he was the anointed cherub, that he was a powerful angel that stood before God himself. There are even some that claim that he was even the one that was right there worshiping God, the one that even enhanced worship in heaven. And they just take things and they really kind of try to unravel Scripture, but I don't know if we really even know that or not. But he was, many believe that he was anointed cherub, that he was created by God, he was full of wisdom, he was perfect in beauty, and they take that from the passage of Ezekiel 28. But then something took place in the devil. He wanted to become like God. And they use the passage Isaiah 14. And in Isaiah 14, hear the declarations of Lucifer when he says, "I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set myself above on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So the devil wanted to become God, like God. And that's very characteristic of the devil, really, because if you go to the very beginning at the temptation of Eve, what was that temptation? God told him not to eat of this fruit. And the serpent comes over and says, you won't die if you eat this fruit. But if you eat it, you will become like God, knowing good and evil. The very first temptation was the draw of becoming like God. And if you go to Matthew 4 in the temptation of the wilderness, do you remember what happened? One of the temptations was when the devil took Jesus up and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, you know what? I will give that to you if you will fall down and worship me. He wanted to be like God. He wanted Jesus to worship him. And if we end, before we get from Scripture, what happened when the devil decided he wanted to be like God? He was cast out of heaven, him and the angels that followed him. And in a way, at that point, he became the father of this world. This became his domain. Because if you look at John 12:31, where Jesus describes the devil as the ruler of this world, and in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul describes the devil as the god of this world. And this devil has a powerful influence in the world that we live. A world of sin, a world of death. The devil, the father of lies, a father who can influence people on this world. An influencer for evil. So in this world, we are in a spiritual battle with the god of this world. A powerful force, the devil, the accuser, a slanderer. Revelation 12:10 says he's the accuser of the brethren and has been cast down. How many of you experience accusations in your mind? Satan, he's our adversary. He's against us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to keep us from experiencing the Christian life, the fullness of the Christian life. He's also described as the tempter. In 1 Thessalonians 3:5, at the end of that verse, it says, I sent to you to learn of your faith for fear that somehow the tempter has tempted you and our labor would have been in vain. The devil is also described as the angel of light in 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He's also described as a roaring lion in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He is the father of lies. Listen to the concern of Paul for the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11:3. I am afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led away astray from the sincere and pure devotion to Christ. We are in a spiritual battle. So we model one of two fathers. God the Father and the Father of lies. We model our true Father. The Jews modeled their true Father. Jesus modeled his Father. But I want to clarify one thing here for a moment. There is a big difference between the two fathers. They aren't equal. I remember years ago, I spent many of my years on Whidbey Island, Washington, up in the Northwest, just about an hour outside of Seattle. And we had on this island every summer the Island County Fair, a small country fair that people from all over the state would come. They'd catch the ferry. The ferry lines would be hours long, and they'd come to this island fair to participate in all of the events. And I remember going to this fair and coming and seeing this picture in the art gallery where they're having like these competitions of these art. And I remember seeing this picture. And on this picture, there is a pool table. And God, Jesus, is in white, and he's standing there overlooking the pool table. Lucifer's down with the cue stick. He's over hitting the cue, getting ready to hit the cue ball into the left corner pocket. And then there's the last ball. All the balls from the table are gone. There's one last ball, and it's Earth. And it's sitting there. And Satan's sitting there, taking the cue ball and, you know, cue ball and everything and getting ready. And then there's Jesus with great concern on his face. Oh no, I hope he doesn't get in the corner pocket. You have to be worried. God is here. Satan's always been right here. There's no comparison to the eternal, omnipotent, omniscient God. That's not where the true battle's taking place. It was no battle for God. The battle's over us. That's where God stepped in. So when I say two fathers, don't think there's any equal ground. No. The devil has been defeated on our behalf if you believe in Christ. But God, it was no problem for him. It was no problem. The devil doesn't have a chance. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God the Father defeated Satan on your behalf through Jesus Christ. Through his death, his burial, his resurrection, you have been set free from spiritual death. Listen to Hebrews 2, verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to the life of slavery. When Jesus came, we placed our faith in him. Satan had this thing over us, death, ha ha. And after death, you would be judged because you sinned and there was nothing you could do about it because God was just and you'd be judged justly for your sin, which means eternal separation from God after death. And Jesus came and he died in our place to satisfy the righteous judgment of God. He took that thing that Satan had in control. This thing of death. And for us, it is no longer death. For Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. We have been set free from death. Yes, we'll die physical death. But really, it's just taking a nap and going into glory, into God's presence. And see, God has disarmed the devil, the enemy. Listen to Colossians 2:13. And you who are dead in your trespasses and uncircumcised of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all of your trespasses by canceling out the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he has set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, the devil was disarmed. He no longer has the power of death, and God disarmed him. Yet the devil knows his days are limited, and he's doing everything he can to influence people not to come to Jesus. And I believe that he also wants to influence us so that, one, we won't get to know and walk into the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. And he wants to keep us defeated because God's passion and his heart is for the harvest. And if he could keep us defeated, always looking inward, always struggling, always seems to fail, oh, that's great, because then we cannot be a warrior that goes out and is used in the harvest to bring others to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So yes, there's a devil. He's still working his lies and deceptions, but there will be a day, as it says in Revelations, when there will be the final judgment of the devil and the demons, and they will be cast forever into the lake of fire. Forever. And this morning, in our conclusion this morning, who are you modeling this morning? God the Father of lies. Your life, how you live, declares who you follow. As you model your Father, you will influence those around you. So it's like this domino effect. Yes, we're in a spiritual battle. Yes, it's not always easy. But in Christ, we can live in victory over the schemes of the devil. We are called to victory as Christians. We are called to walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 John 4:4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. James 5:6 says this. Listen to this passage, you guys. James 5:6 through 11. If we have the worship team come forward as I close in this passage. James 5, verses 6, beginning in verse 6. Listen to this passage that God has called us to. As the worship team just plays a little music for a moment, as I was saying through this message today, we are influenced by two fathers. God the Father, all-powerful God the Father, defeated Satan over here, who will be completely defeated, but has been, the power of death has been removed from him. He's a lion with no teeth. We are called to model our Heavenly Father. If you had a good father or not, maybe you aren't celebrating Father's Day because really, in your mind, I didn't have a good father. Well, let's celebrate God, our Father. The perfect, righteous, holy, faithful, loving, forgiving, slow to anger, quick to forgive, Father. We could celebrate Him if you can't celebrate your own father. But which father this morning influences you? Now listen to James as I close. We'll go right into our worship. Listen to James 5, verse 6, beginning in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us worship.